Hey, it's the Shroud, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I am your host, Tim. And of course, we'll have Brett and Nuge later on. But right now, this is episode 148, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is March 15th, 2019. The time is a very early 1:30 a.m., which I'll explain in just a second. But before I do that, be sure and follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg, which is under construction for quite some time now. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to web design, so if you do, please let me know. I would definitely appreciate any help I can get. And of course, though, be sure and join our Discord. Be a part of that conversation. We love listening to our listeners. We have listeners in there that are always talking, you know, CSGO, whatever. Doesn't even have to be that. Whatever you want to talk about. But as to why I am awake at 1:30 in the morning editing this episode, you ask? Well, that's a very good question, and I have a very good answer for that. We have two very special guests on today's episode. Chris Mann, president of Ultimate Media Ventures, and Nate Ekman, who is the co-founder and designer and creator of Alt Esports. You may have recently heard of them, or maybe you've already heard of them, but they've been recently in the news as they have partnered and released their Overwatch League clothing line, or at least the first of it. I know Nate, way back, we met at the MLG Columbus Major, and we were like, hey man, why don't you come on the show and do a quick little interview? Tell us what you guys are about, you know, introduce the line, all that fun stuff. And that quick little interview turned into a very long discussion, but a good one, talking about how they started, you know, what you can expect from them in the future, and really just kind of a general business and esports type of discussion. It's very good, very interesting. We learned a lot, and I think you will too. So we decided just to do a special episode because there's no way that we could edit it down and do it justice. So here it is, again with Chris Mann and Nate Ekman from Ultimate Esports, and I hope you enjoy. We have two very special guests and friends of the show from Ultimate Media Ventures. You might know them as Alt Esports. You might see them on Twitter as a very hip, popular clothing line, newly partnered with Overwatch, but they're much more than clothing. So let's introduce them. We have Chris Mann, president of Ultimate Media Ventures, and Nate Ekman, co-founder and designer of Alt. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be here.
No, the pleasure is all ours. I mean, obviously, me and Nate go way back. We randomly met at the hotel bar at MLG Columbus at the major many years ago. Yeah. And it's crazy to think back then we were both, like, I just started the podcast. I think I was probably only 20 something episodes in, if that. And then you were just kind of, I remember you saying, like, oh yeah, we're starting this thing called Ultimate and it's kind of esports centric. We do events. And yeah,
that was, I had just started, like, officially, the company, like 2 days before that. Like, we'd been kind of building it for a couple months since November. That event was in April. And I remember really distinctly, like, waking up April 1st, you know, April Fool's Day, right? And it was like 5 a.m. So West Coast time, it was early. And I changed all my social media, all my kind of official, you know, public messaging to say, like, hey, you know, Ultimate is a real company. I'm one of the creators of this thing and it's real. And it felt so great. And to walk through the cold biting air into the arena that the first couple mornings and stay at that particular hotel with, you know, guys like you, all the players, like all the staff, everyone was there, was just completely amazing to kind of kick off really what was our company's first real event. And that kind of steamrolled into where we are now. And you know, like you said, that was a couple of years ago. So, you know, it is a very small industry, but, you know, it's been a really incredible journey, and got guys like Chris with us now who just completely are amazing, and he runs the show. So I'm just a lucky guy, really.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, if we can just go back to Columbus for a second, because you mentioned the hotel and how we were there with all the big wigs and everything for the major. Mm-hmm. Did you know that that was the hotel they were all staying at?
You know, yes, because we were put in the block. We were put in the MLG block.
Okay, so you were, yeah. Okay. See, we did not know. So when we booked that hotel, we just got extremely lucky. Like, we walked in and saw, I think it was like CLG just hanging out in the front, and we were like, oh, well, this will work out. Like, this has worked out pretty well.
Well, there were a lot of other, like, guys like Chris. Chris knows Rishi from Twitter. He, at the time, he worked for MLG, and he was just in the lobby that day. Okay. You know, and
so is that how you got, like, at Ultimate on Twitter?
Chris,
we can't disclose. We have full secrets that enabled us to get that amazing handle.
I mean, I won't lie.
Whoever went inactive.
Like, I love Ultimate. I love the alt clothing line, but having at Ultimate is the most impressive thing about your company.
Like, you should see some of the mentions that we get now, because that's fairly new. You know, we secured the handle a few weeks ago. Thank you, Rishi, very much. But yeah, the people that mention it, I tell you, it's quite diverse. I think there's probably four or five different groups that perhaps don't realize that it's changed ownership to a gaming lifestyle and an esports company. But you know, that's a whole nother topic for another day.
They'll figure it out. So when did you come on board, Chris? Were you on board back in Columbus?
Columbus was a fabled sort of early stage of our company, right? One of the first majors that the company was involved in. And I came in, when did I come in? I came in about 2 years ago, almost to the day. So I was sitting in Berlin, Germany, actually, on a business trip. I was running a marketing and design firm for 6 years prior to this, and been a gamer my entire life, wanted to get back into this. One of Nate's partners, JB, and I go back many, many years. So JB sort of roped me in out of a relatively insane life that I was leading, you know, traveling the world, working for billion-dollar brands, working 100 plus hours a week, inventing the future of different industries and all that, to come back in and, you know, aptly join what they called the pirate life at the time. And, you know, the company was definitely in an early stage. It was focused on a lot of different things. You should actually see the back of our business card. I think there's like 8 logos on it still to this day, which is a little bit confusing. So I was brought in actually to run a vertical of the company that I shut down on the very first day that I came to work there. And then I said goodbye, and then they made me the chief marketing officer about 2 hours after that. So coming in, it was really, I would say, focus, right? My job was to really find out where were the opportunity spaces in the business and in the industry as well, the voids. You know, I think Alt was definitely doing an amazing job covering as the very first esports streetwear brand. You know, there mm-hmm. are many, many of them now, but, you know, Nate and crew just really came out the gate strong and established themselves as Alt, which I think is Nate's core passion. But our company is so much more than just product, you know, and our studio that we have. So we're excited a little bit more with you, but I've been about 2 years with the company now. Yeah.
So at what point did you guys realize that, wow, we have something here. This is our break.
Right now?
You know, I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have been associated with other teams, right?
Well, PCR, man, all day.
Oh, there you go.
It's a big honor.
Nate, why don't you start
I'll
that
say,
one?
I think for me, it was, quite honestly, like having, when Chris joined the company, it felt like it wasn't just a couple of guys with big ideas, you know, and building some monstrous shell of a studio at the time, you know, full of passion, full of basically like imagination. it became very real. It felt like we had like a very high caliber of thinker and someone with the right level of leadership to help us become a real company. And I that's a very subjective thing to say. It'd be like, oh, it finally felt like a real company. But, you know, we've since added an incredible, humbling amount of brilliant people who have done such great work in their lives and their careers, who've done things that I've wanted to do, like building a $100 million company, like gentlemen who have done that 2, 3, 4 times over, who I get to work with every day. So I think for me, it was mostly looking around the studio and being like, wow, I'm surrounded by really, really capable folks, and together we can do something really incredible. And it was really Chris who helped, like you said, bring the focus, bring the leadership, bring the you know, the ability for people like me to just really express our passion effectively, or enable, as he says, you know, business enablement to really take shape. So I think that for me was huge. And then after that, it's like, you know, working on bigger and bigger deals and bigger contracts and bigger this and that. You just keep chasing and grinding, and it never really stops from there. But I still show up every day to work with the people that we get to work with, and I consider that a huge honor and really what set the tone for me very early.
Well, and I would build on that by saying we already talked a bit about how we recently became legitimate in the eyes of social media by getting a little verification mark on Twitter. So perhaps that was it for me, you know, the culmination of years of hard work. Honestly, you know, you put your head down. You guys can relate to this. I mean, you've done how many of these podcast episodes, right? I mean, you just do them all the time. The regimen of showing up and just doing your thing, grinding day over day, and you know, all of a sudden it's a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, and you come up for air and you kind of look around and there's all this stuff around you that wasn't there the last time. And pause to just kind of smell the roses. And so my journey started a little bit after Nate. It really was, I'd say, probably late last year, moving into the holiday timeframe, it was becoming more and more clear that, at least on the consumer brand side, with Alt as part of our portfolio, Alt was starting to gain some traction, not just as a community company. We have our core nucleus of you know, fans and community members, people that have supported us from day one. I mean, Nate and I, you know, could literally tell you the name of every single Alt customer up until probably about 6 months ago, right? Wow. So we earned every single one of our friends, really, in our community, you know, one at a time. And so I think as we started to see, for me, as I started to see on the Alt side more and more of our apparel, just in random photos, pros that I had never met or that I knew that we weren't talking to, were showing up on main stages and in content pieces, wearing the clothing, talking. I think, you know, a lot of the guys at Beyond the Summit, particularly in the Smash community, really gravitated very early on. So while we caught fire, I'd say, in a couple of the fun vertical communities inside esports and gaming, I think we really got our foothold in the Call of Duty world. So it's serendipitous in many ways that you guys met at a major in Columbus. And, you know, we've been with our partners from EU United as two young companies growing up through the space together, having each other's backs and all of that. And, you know, we're at the point now where there are global publishers that, you know, are doing deals with us directly and want us to help understand and invent and curate gaming lifestyle as mainstream culture with them. So I think now we're just living a dream. I mean, it's the most exciting time to be alive and be a fan of video games right now, right?
Your United apparel is something we were talking about earlier, actually. It really is some of our favorite apparel out there. you know, for an esports team, it's such a clean and good look. And so, I mean, I'm even going through it now. It's funny because I'm on your guys' site as we're chatting and looking at all your fantastic stuff. You know, the United stuff is something that definitely stands out to me. One cool thing I noticed, you know, the similarities as we've talked about, you know, how you guys met a couple of years ago and now how we're finally getting a chance to meet you. You know, Overwatch League is something that we also consider one of our big breaks in the sense of us getting to partner up with them recently. And obviously now your big announcement that's come out here. How did that relationship kind of form with you and Overwatch?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll say Chris really came in and saved the day on this one, but I'll say we were fans first. You know, we would go to the pre-inaugural opening weekend as fans, and this was like before they even would be on broadcast, and we would watch the games. We'd sit in the arena. You know, we live locally, so we're very fortunate to be able to go to the arena a lot, and we just became obsessed with and in love with the community. And this was even before it was out of beta and the league hadn't been globally franchised yet, you know, and this was very early days. And I think we just identified with what the community was all about being inclusive and diverse and expressive and colorful and vibrant and all of these wonderful displays of passion and in the heroes and in what the league was becoming. And to see franchising become global and just like Chris said, like all of that energy of like, this is happening now. This is what, you know, as a gamer, you dream about. You dream about the world of video games becoming this massive global force, and to just appreciate it on that level is huge, and to participate in it is amazingly humbling. But I think for us, it was, let's participate even more. Let's get involved. Let's take action and be a part of how this is shaping on the front line of it. So we really pursued it over a long period of time. And I think it was because we were so passionate, and still to this day, like, I just love being a fan of the Overwatch League. And I think that's really what makes it possible. Why a small company like us and a small brand like us, you know, can identify with such a big publisher is just, we're very passionate and they can see that. And, you know, the choices that we make, like, reflect that level of dedication to helping build that community as members of it. So, I mean, that's kind of my point of view on it. I don't know, Chris, if you have a thought.
Absolutely.
On that.
Yeah. Well said. You know, look, Alt is first and foremost a brand, right? And we're very much on an entrepreneurial brand journey. It's a lifestyle brand, you know, representing gamers from all around the world. And so, you know, as we started to go down that path of building something, you know, that was really unique and hard. I mean, as a first mover, you know, Nate was designing, you know, elevated jerseys really out the gate. I think the first batch of jerseys we did for the EU United guys were made from highly technical materials that it took expensive designers, you know, inside Los Angeles and New York, you know, months and months to come up with the patterns for, and, you know, intricately cut and sew. I mean, the stuff was a work of art, right? And so we had a disruption story right out the gate. And what was interesting is that as more people discovered the brand, vis-a-vis some of the partnerships that we had, you know, the earliest stage of which was reunited, really, right? The fans would come and they would say, man, I love Alt. And the coach's camo jacket was our sort of historic, our bestseller. This is this really great iconic piece, you know, with these big, you know, three letters on the back, ULT. So you see it all over the place. And people came to us, you know, companies, you know, different leagues, actually, even publishers, and said, hey, we love Alt so much. Is it possible that you guys could merchandise for us? And we said, no, of course not. You know, we're a brand, you know, we're not a merchandising company, for almost a year. And then we opened it up to some possibilities, and we started down our path with the United. And what we quickly realized is that being a brand who also learns about the types of products, what's resonating with specific communities, because as you guys can imagine, you know, a lot of the different communities don't necessarily have the same purchase patterns. people wear different things. The culture is totally different, you know, game mm-hmm. over game, as we all know. So what was really fascinating was, I'd say, how we started to gain traction. And, you know, it was in our ability to be dynamic and do our own brand drops for alt, but then also have alt designing for other brands too, and associate ourselves with them from the very beginning. And that started us down this sort of secondary parallel path under the product side, where we really started to understand the unit economics of being a merchandising company and the operation around that. And it helped us build an amazing funnel of new product. And, you know, pretty soon you guys are going to start seeing consistent weekly drops, you know, every single week. And there'll be a mixture of the core alt brand as well as other products that we've designed on behalf of some of the most amazing individuals, teams, leagues, publishers, et cetera, in the world. So we're just honored to be on this journey still. And it is still very much an entrepreneurial journey for us, as we've been trying to open up the gaming lifestyle category at big box retailers as the alt brand, you know, in particular mm-hmm. with our partner Zumiez, right? Which is a skate shop in, you know, North America. So for us, you know, that pioneering journey is quintessentially part of who we are. We'll always be on the front end of sort of moving the category forward. You know, we really focus mostly, I would say, on growing the entire collective at a foundational level, showing the world what gaming lifestyle means, that it's okay to be a gamer. It's even better than that. It should be celebrated for all these amazing reasons that the whole world is starting to discover now. So to play a small part in that is genuinely just, it's surreal.
One thing with alt that I've, you know, you go to the website, altesports.com, that's for the clothing side of it. You instantly see that you guys definitely have a unique style. It's very easy to tell that, okay, this is a alt piece of clothing. I know you mentioned the camo coach jacket. I love the ghost triangle one. What type of, like, when you signed up with Overwatch League, I've always heard through the grapevine that Blizzard is very strict on people who want to represent their product, right? They're very protective of it. Was it I want to know two things. What type of freedom do they give you in designing their product, right, for an Overwatch team? And was that a fear going into it as like, okay, this is our first time like having to produce something that we can't really like, you know, like maybe they tell us how to design something and that's not us.
Right. That's a good question. And Nate will sort of help fill you in, I think, on the creative approach. But as we get there, right, the thing I want to preface with all of this is we very much earned our stripes with the guys from Activision Blizzard. You know, it started with Call of Duty, as we talked about already. And we were fortunate enough to meet some of the best folks that we've met so far on our journey, Tucker Roberts, Joe Marsh, and Hung Tran, who were sort of the original three guys behind the Philadelphia Fusion at Comcast. And they brought us on board about halfway through the last season of the Overwatch League and allowed us to essentially design the 10 SKUs each team was awarded and given the opportunity to sell on their own, you know, online, right? And so we started our Overwatch journey with the Philadelphia Fusion and you know, essentially learned a lot about not just the league, because as Nate said, we were already fans. I've been playing the game since alpha, but, you know, I stopped playing it, I think, in beta. I wasn't very good. But at the end of the day, the amazing thing about all of this is that as we dropped new releases and we started to do our alt thing inside this new community, it became wildly apparent that what Blizzard had created here with the world's first esports franchise league here was ostensibly unique. And it was very different than what we've all seen with Riot and League and what they've been doing. And so I think from our side, the ability for us to come in, and believe me, this partnership took forever to create. I mean, we started talking to them predating, you know, really E3 last year. So April, May, you know, 2018 was when our conversations with them really started. And it took up until about, I mean, honestly, our contract wasn't signed until January of this year. So, and then we were given, you know, about a month to launch. And as you guys know, that's just not enough time, right? So it's been a little hectic. And you know, Nate will fill you in a little bit on what it's been like to go on that design journey and address those two questions about, you know, how much freedom that we've been able to have. And sort of what that all means and where it's going too.
I'll say this, creatively getting to work with Blizzard is a complete dream come true. I can't even say like you would like as a gamer, I put them on a big mountaintop. Like they're the greatest game publisher to me in the world. And the ability to work with their designer of that league, the ability to work with the league office, to work with the heads, like the C-level marketers, is so inspiring that it feels highly collaborative. It feels like we're on this journey together, and the ideas that I'm really passionate about are things that we spend a lot of time talking about together as a team, as a group, and we all are super aligned and in sync like every day with where the work is going. So it feels like a big co-creation exercise. And I think if I was a different type of creative mind that was very fixed in my points of view, it might be different. But I think part of the creative process of exploration and discovery and collaboration is super important to me and in my work. So the ability to learn and adapt and share and express and find new exciting ways to do things. It's just in my DNA, and I think it's in some of theirs too. So it totally feels completely creatively liberating, exciting, freeing. I feel challenged. I feel inspired. So, you know, absolutely, yes. Do they have like an incredible brand guide? Like, yes, absolutely. Do they have a lot of, you know, guidelines and regulations? Like, yes, absolutely. Is it an insane process? You know, yes, absolutely. But is it come out with work that will touch the fans in a meaningful way? Like, yes, everybody's on that page together. We all want to give the fans something great, and we're all willing to do the work and show up and do the work. So in that way, like, it doesn't feel like there's a wall of regulation. It feels more like there's this amazing launch ramp into awesomeness, and we can all go on that journey together. So, I mean, I'm just thrilled. Like Chris said earlier, this is a complete dream come true, and we're just living in it, and it's just like completely exciting. So I can't say enough good things about it, to be honest.
Look, these guys from Blizzard could do, I mean, Activision Blizzard, they could do a deal with any company in the world that they select, right? And this has actually been said to us by them. You know, we could work with whoever we want. But, you know, there's a lot of rationale and logic behind, you know, who they're partnering up with. It's not seemingly random. It's not the highest bidder. It's not perhaps in some cases the people who are the most qualified. You know, there's much more to it than that. You know, as you guys know, I mean, I'm a lifelong fan of Blizzard. I've been playing Blizzard games since the very beginning, and some of them incredibly competitively. For instance, StarCraft was my game, you know, mm-hmm. back in the day. And so I think from our lens now, being able to share and create this esports thing as a brand who came from inside the esports industry, you know, that's really what brought us to them and them to us, you know, is our point of view, is how we're creating gaming culture in our community, in our way. We're not buying it. You know, we've never spent a dime marketing our brand. It's all been earned, you know, through blood, sweat, tears, and long days and nights. So it's really about the narrative. And as a young brand that's growing up, and you know, now having really big, powerful friends, you know, like Blizzard, giving us an opportunity and a platform to put our brand right next to their brand, right? Yeah. You know, it's something that not only elevates us, but it also allows our community that we were built inside of. I say that Ult was forged inside the fires of esports, right? And so for Blizzard, that was quintessentially important that we weren't another company, and then we pivoted into gaming lifestyle apparel.
Oh, esports. I hear this is going to be big. Let's make esports clothes. Like,
you know. Right.
And there's plenty of those guys out there, though. You know, that is something.
Nothing against them, right?
No,
nothing,
of course.
They didn't come out with a dress.
Oh my gosh, you guys, come on.
I'm just saying the
tweet that stopped the world. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I will say that I want to ask one more question about the Overwatch League lineup, and you don't have to answer with anything that will get you in trouble. But here in Texas, it's already getting sort of too warm for hoodies. When can we expect a summer lineup?
Wow. How does next Thursday sound? I mean,
perfect.
You heard it here first.
I think
we're trying to bring you guys new stuff, like Chris said, like on a weekly basis. So, you know, I'd say we're working so hard. There's literally like so many people that we get to work with every day in the studio that make this all so possible, from design to logistics to planning to just manufacturing, sourcing, you know, sampling, everything. And we're all really diligent to bring new exciting things. So seasonality will sure be a thing. Moments will sure be a thing. Stories will be a thing. I think, the ability to have a lot of different diverse options is really at the core of the philosophy behind this. So, you know, yes, we came out with some cozy, warm stuff. But, you know, I think it was really to make a statement about color mostly, and about being unique and expressive. So I'd say expect some more unique, expressive things, but in the body styles, you know, things that adapt to warmer climates like you have down there in Texas.
You know, I live in one of the hottest states in the United States, but I'm a year-round hoodie guy, and I got my eye on that Dallas Fuel sandstone hoodie. Cool. That is really clean. I mean, and it's a very simple but just clean look. Well, that's done.
It's an amazing compliment. I think thank you, and I love that color as well. And you know, being a gamer who didn't have a lot of options, you know, years back on modern, like you said, clean, wearable stuff, I think that's really in our core. And, you know, we're flattered that you would say that. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Now, I am going to pivot us off of the clothing for a moment here, because you guys are obviously involved in more. You're more than just a clothing company, right? And
that's
so
true.
You know, a couple things that I've seen that caught my eye were, you know, I see the Battle Series stuff on your website, the UMV content creation, and the fact that you have this 22,000 square foot facility. Can you give us a little bit of insight as to what are some of the other things, you know, Ultimate's working on right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'll kind of give you a little peek behind what we've been up to on the studio side. So obviously a clothing company doesn't need 22,000 square feet of what I call an esports temple that's essentially designed inside an old skateboard wheels, you know, factory, right? State-of-the-art technology. Our facility is essentially an ESPN or an NBC Sports for our world and our industry. So we're a private, closed, business-to-business company. You know, we're Switzerland. We're agnostic. We work with everybody in the ecosystem. And, you know, that position grants us a lot of access, as well as great responsibility, because, you know, we find out about things that most people don't know about. And you know, part of who we are is because we've established a very trust-based relationship with a lot of our industry leaders, you know, in different capacities. So for us, you know, the content side of UMV really represents in some ways an even bigger opportunity than the lifestyle brand and what we're building out on the product side of things. So, you know, our industry is filled still with a lot of content that is relatively straightforward. You know, a lot of player journey narrative, documentary style, you know, follow the player to X event and, you know, Y tournament. And, you know, there's great victory and there's defeat, and everyone has such a unique story. It's amazing to understand the humans behind the main stage, right? But for us, you know, as you think about people watching video games as a form of entertainment, obviously there are amazing platforms, you know, that have spawned out, Twitch being the, you know, the de facto. But, you know, our world is filled with people who don't even know what Twitch is, right? And so for us, you know, the more linear original content path is the path that we're on. It's a much harder journey. It's gaming as an entertainment proposition for everything that lives outside the actual game IP itself, right? And you even have to go beyond about the players to unlock that really special mix of, you know, what is unique, what is repeatable, and what is something that is authentic in the tone of our community, you know, that will be received by it. And so, you know, we have currently about 10 to 12 different original IP just concepts in our pipeline in different various stages. Some of them have pilots that have been shot that are currently being shopped out all throughout basically the Hollywood landscape. So you'll start to see some of our content pop up very soon on massive services like Crackle and Hulu, possibly even Netflix too. A lot of the OTT providers who are really starting to understand that there's a huge opportunity for this type of content. And so for us, we want to be positioned as people who are not doing the same type of content as everybody else in our industry. And I'll give you one example right now, and it's actually not to bring it back to the Overwatch League, but we as UMB are actually, we've been hired to do all the brand marketing, brand management, and content for the Paris Eternal for this season of the Overwatch League. So
that's awesome.
We formed a little task force out of our studio group, and you know, we have people that are embedded with the team every single day. And the types of content that we're focusing on there, it feels very familiar, you know, to a lot of other content types that I had referenced before. But there's one thing that's different about it. And, you know, one of the things that we aligned on with the owner of the Paris Eternal, which is an amazing gentleman named Drew McCourt. Drew really challenged us to be real and to have a very raw sort of tonality. And, you know, the Eternal they're in their own inaugural season as an expansion team. You know, it's a tough time. They're, you know, in about 14 days, they're going to be the only official Overwatch League team in all of Europe after Brexit happens, right? So goodbye, Spitfire.
Oh, God.
You're right.
Oh, it's wow. True, you know, if they go that. Through with it or not. So there's a lot riding on these guys. It's a squad of all Europeans. It was purposefully formed and designed to represent the entire continent of Europe, right? And so to be tasked with the storytelling of the individuals, of the team, and really the broader sort of trajectory of where that whole league is going for this season is a really big task. And I would say our episodic series for the Eternal is called First Light. We're four episodes into it so far. They had an amazing season opener against Spitfire, defeating the defending champions. And they've had a couple of tough matches, you know, as they find their cadence, as we move into new metas and, you know, they're finding new challengers. And so, you know, our charter to them is to tell the story of this season And if it gets really tough, we're going to be there to tell that really tough story, and we're not going to shy away from that, you know. And these players, and the management, even the ownership, they've all embraced that. And I'll be honest, guys, I have not seen that, you know, at a team level, people encouraging us to essentially show not just the real rawness and the truth behind what's going on, but to really let the fans experience the emotional journey that they're on, and to see, you know, after the game against the Atlanta Reign, where, you know, those guys pulled off some pretty amazing, you know, first time maneuvers, right, on the Reign side. You know, it was a really tough day for these boys and for the whole org, right?
How do the players handle that? Because like for this, I can kind of compare it to, you know, NFL films or whatever HBO documentary, right, where you follow the team around. Yeah, professional athletes are used to it, right? They've kind of grown up with the expectations of cameras are going to be in my face. But like for some of these guys, you know, this is like their first time not only in a pro gaming setting, but now they have a documentary crew essentially following them around. Have the players been kind of open to the idea?
They have. You know, I think you just touched on a really interesting topic. I mean, the notion of media training and camera readiness, you know, in our industry it's almost a meme, you know, in many cases, right? You see these amazing matches that happen, and then the post game interviews are just cringeworthy, you know? yeah. And so when you think about the way that, you know, this group of folks, in particular, you know, the starters on Eternal, have allowed and embraced this to happen, I think that it's really tough for them, you know, and I think that I'm really proud of every single one of these guys for opening up the way that they have an intimate setting, you know, where you have a single videographer with his camera or her camera shooting, you know, one player in a one-on-one capacity. It's really something that we in our life as a company so far, in the 3 years we've been around, have I would say done very well with. We really know how to coach out and to get players who otherwise would be incredibly camera shy or standoffish and not really have much to say to open up. And there is a very deliberate methodology behind a lot of that. And it's not just them allowing us to do it. But I would say that, just to directly answer your question, you know, these players have absolutely leaned in on this. They have understood that they have, you know, great power and great responsibility representing not just France, but, you know, a lot of the greater part of Europe right now, all jokes aside around Brexit. And so, you know, I think that you're going to start to see more and more of this as they become even more comfortable, not just with the crew, because, you know, think about it, you know, they don't know us really. We're Americans, you know, these are European mm-hmm. guys that predominantly speak other languages, right? And so, you know, there's a little bit of a cultural divide, even amongst how we're partnering and working together. But there's trust being built. And I think they're starting to understand and see the storytelling behind all of this. And it's apparent when you look at the fans' response. You know, if you go to Reddit or you read YouTube comments or even, you know, replies on Twitter to some of the posts that we make, man, the community is just so appreciative of the realness that this provides. And there's amazing compliments that are being thrown out there about this approach that's being taken. So I would personally love to see more and more of this sort of raw, real style that's tasteful, yet, you know, doesn't necessarily apply heavy filters to what's going on. I mean, if you guys have or haven't seen some of these episodes, you know, particularly episode 3, I mean, you can see the devastation on the players' faces. And when you're embedded with them and you're in their practice facility inside the Overwatch arena, and their coach is, you know, is debriefing them on the game and giving a pep talk, you know, about rallying the troops and getting prepared for the upcoming week and practice and all the hard work that needs to go into it. And there's blank stares, and you know, you can just see the emotion. And I think that's what's most moving to me, and the chance to unlock and harness that emotion and not only share that, you know, because when we're in that room, you can feel it. You're part of it, right? Whether you want to be or not, you know, you are part of that team. And for us, being able to give some of those feels back to the community and get them to co-sign that and say, you know, I cried, or I got the chills, or all I want to do is embrace them, you know, and support them in spite of some of the tough challenges that they've had, is a huge testament, not just to, you know, to the types of content that we're creating on behalf of this team, but, you know, to this insanely supportive community of global gamers all around the world.
And for those who haven't seen Paris Eternal First Light, that is on Paris Eternal's YouTube channel. So that's where you
can... That is correct.
Yeah, they have episodes 1 through 4 there, and you said the next one should be coming out soon?
Yes, it will. We just recently started adding French subtitles to every single episode, so it takes a little bit of time to get all that right, as you can imagine.
I assume you or Nate are not the ones translating that.
Oh,
Nate. Comment allez-vous? Tiens?
Nate does all the translations, as you can imagine.
Excellent. Well, before we wrap this up, I will give you guys the last word. I know you kind of just went over what is next for the future of Ultimate and everything. But again, I do think it's crazy how, you know, our paths have crossed a couple years ago. And I remember when I first saw the logo on the E-United jersey, and I was like, wait a minute. I recognize that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Nate's, you know, company there. I was like, that's insane how... You know, things have grown for you guys. I'm super happy for you. You know,
thank
just
you.
Being to meet Nate from, you know, basically at ground zero when it all started, and to see how it's kind of morphed into it, it's pretty awesome. I will say that, because we do have listeners too who, you know, want to get into esports and not necessarily be on the quote unquote esports side of it, but kind of like how you guys did, right? With the lifestyle and everything like that. If you had to give any final words of wisdom, what would you give to that aspiring person who wants to make it in esports, but not necessarily do it like with an org or anything like that?
I'll go, and then I'm sure Chris will be very eloquent in how he wraps it up. But I'd say, like, you know, don't be afraid and, you know, take the entrepreneurial journey. And if you're vocal about what you're passionate about and you raise your hand and you say, I want to do this, and you are genuine and persistent, people are like magnetically attracted to that energy, and they'll want to support you. They'll want to champion you. They'll want to encourage you. And soon enough, you'll look to the left and you'll look to the right and you'll see that you have friends, you'll have buddies, and they'll be like, let's do this together, and it won't feel so scary. So I'd say just be persistent and be brave, and you'll find your way.
Yeah, well said. I would add just do, you know, get out there. Don't talk, you know, action, you know, jump in, volunteer if you need to. You know, you see so many people that are trying to break into this world, and so many really impressive people, you know, that want to try to change careers. Just one super quick aside. We posted a job almost a year and a half ago for a social media manager. And in 7 days, we received over 900 applications on LinkedIn alone, right?
Jeez.
There were PhDs. There were people that, you know, were debatably not even old enough to be on the internet, really, you know, on a social networking site like LinkedIn, and everything in between, you know, including a gentleman who was one of the founders of Disney Interactive. So, you know, I think that there's such a demand right now for understanding this world, this culture of gaming, and as a subset of that, of course, the competitive gaming side of it. But you know, esports is so much more than just pro players playing on a big stage. It's more than the community. What a lot of people don't realize is even things like today, you know, there's opportunities to, you know, to get involved in a production capacity, you know, as a leading production company in this industry. You know, we have employed hundreds, if not thousands, of different people, you know, to hold cameras, microphones, technical directors, run streams, observers, you name it. You know, if it's part of a professional event series or something like that, just unlock your passion, apply it, be genuine about it, and be forthcoming, but go get it, you know, is really my advice to people. And, you know, the more hungry, not desperate, of course, but the more hungry that you are and the more willing you are to just show what that means to people, you know, guys like myself and Nate, you know, and you guys too, you know, we're all so busy on our own grind and our own hustle. So it's hard sometimes to consciously stop and say, well, what do we need to do? Or right. Who do we need around us, right? There's not even enough cognitive time in the day, you know, to think through. How do you go through 900 applicants that you don't, right? Mm-hmm. And so from my side, I would just say and encourage you guys, get involved, you know, join different Discord communities, listen to amazing podcasts like the one you're listening to right now, study the space, and apply that expertise categorically to something, and you will get your shot. And, you know, just make sure you're ready when you do.
And if I had to add on to that, end up at the same hotel bar with Nate, get snowed in, buy him a few drinks, and you make an esports friend for life. It worked out cool. So easily.
Right on.
Love it.
That's right. All right. So let's one more time pimp out everything here at Ultimate on Twitter. That is their Twitter. Go ahead and follow that. Get all their updates. Like on Thursday, when the Overwatch League, and like they mentioned, new drops every week. So keep an eye out for new clothes. AltEsports.com. That will get you to their clothing website. Ultimate.gg will get you to their main media venture website, so you can check out everything they have there. You can follow Nate on Twitter, the letter N, the number 8, and then O.
Well done.
I mean, you've already pulled enough strings getting at Ultimate, so I understand you can't get at Nate either.
You know? Yeah, he was a casualty. We had to pick the company over yeah, this time.
You had to pick your battles there, Tim.
I understand that. And then, from what I can tell, Chris is too cool for Twitter.
I am on Twitter under the number 23 Laker of all time. One of my favorite, good old Sedale Threat. I am at Sedale 2, the number 2. So, you know, I haven't updated that since the early AOL days. So
there you go. So go ahead. Go ahead for all our listeners. I encourage you go follow Ultimate, because obviously, as you've just listened, they are doing a lot and expect to do more. Gentlemen, I do want to thank you again for coming on the show. I'm glad I was expecting like a 20-minute interview, and we pretty much did a full episode, but it was all fascinating, great information. You know, we only had one technical difficulty, which we'll edit out, and no one will ever know, Nate, that...
Nate.
Sorry, guys.
No one will ever know, but I really do appreciate you coming on the show. I had a lot of fun, and we need to do it again sometime.
Cool.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Gentlemen. Later, appreciate guys. You guys.
Bye.
See ya.
And that will just about do it for this episode of The Center Ring. It was a little different than our normal episode, but I still hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed it. It was really great to hear, you know, Chris and Nate talk about starting up in esports and to see where they are at right now. It's a pretty big inspiration, I think, for any of us in the industry. Especially if you are looking to get into it, it's definitely a good starting point to really listen to them and do the right thing, you know. Go ahead and follow at Ultimate on Twitter. They'll appreciate it, but more importantly, so will we. We'll also appreciate it if you follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Again, join our Discord, all that fun stuff. We would love to hear from you. How did you like the interview? How did you like this type of episode? It's a little different from what we normally do. But again, it was just too good of an interview to cut up. So I'm really glad that we were able to provide it for you guys. We will be back next Monday in a couple of days, in fact, doing our normal shtick, talking CWL franchising, CWL Fort Worth. I'm sure we'll find a way to squeeze in some Counter-Strike as Mouse Sports has completely revamped their roster. So that'll be fun times. But that's all next week. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.